From Chicago, it's the Old St. Pat's podcast series, Currents, Awakening to the Flow of Spirit in Our Lives. Today, we welcome Father Bill O'Shea. In this episode, Father O'Shea reflects on human spirituality and how faith, hope, and love all play a role.
I'd like to offer a few words about spirituality. There'll be three words, actually. Now, there have been many books about various types of spirituality: priestly, monastic, the spirituality of marriage, and more. I believe one could write a book about atheistic spirituality, because to my mind, there is only one human spirituality. It consists of faith, hope, and love. Since 2005, I've been teaching religion on a regular basis at All Saints Catholic Academy in Naperville. I was instrumental in establishing the school, and I felt there would be benefit having a priest making regular classroom visits. A few years ago, the fifth grade teachers asked me to talk about the theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. Now, back in the 70s, Father Jack Wall, Father John Cusick, and I were part of a Mundelein seminary program challenging us to transform our God talk into recognizable human experiences. Here, I thought, was a chance to try to do that. The God talk about faith, hope, and love went like this. 1. Faith is a gift. 2. We've heard that the theological virtues put us in immediate touch with God. I think it was St. Thomas Aquinas who taught that. These virtues are given to us at baptism. Hence, they are called infused virtues. I always pictured something like screwing in a light bulb and watching it go on. The theological definition of faith was, faith is accepting something as true on the basis of the authority of the one who told you, in this case, presumably God. 5, without faith, and hope and love for that matter, it is impossible to be saved. And the greatest of these is love. So that's where to start. Fifth graders do not need a definition of love. They have been loved. But it has helped to tell them a story about life in Europe after the Second World War. So many people who were parents had died that there were very many orphaned children. They built orphanages. In them, they were able to feed all these children, clothe them, teach them. But there were so many of them, it was hard to find time to pick up each child, cuddle them, hug them. As time went on, many of these children began to doubt that anyone really loved them. And as they grew, it became hard for them to love other people. We are only able to love if we've been loved. The Bible says God first loved us. So, boys and girls, love has been a gift to you, and it does come from God, because God is the one who gave us our parents. And our parents know God is the one who gave them you. That's why they took you to church for baptism, to thank God for the gift to them that was you. And then you would begin to know where you really came from the God of love. The God talk about hope did not begin with a definition, but with the sins against hope, presumption, and despair. When we were in the seminary learning to hear confessions, we would break into groups of 3. 1, the confessor. 2, the sinner. And 3, an observer. One time, my little group was assigned to confess a sin against hope. We had no idea. Today, I realize hope is the theological virtue for emergencies, for surviving catastrophes, When suffering a catastrophic loss, people usually adopt one of two strategies. I'm okay. I'll be all right. Just leave me alone. Or, I'll never get over this. My life can never have meaning again. I'm paralyzed. Presumption or despair? In the seminary, we had learned nothing about adult human development. But in our classes with John Shea, Jim Zullo, and Daniel Levinson, we began to chart the various stages, often found in seven-year cycles. First of all, this helped us better understand ourselves. But then, to be ready to help others navigate both the ordinary transition stages of life, and especially the catastrophic occurrences. When I was a pastor in Naperville, I covered both the regular and the catastrophic in homilies and adult education sessions. Once, a woman who had heard my talk several times came up and said, "Now I get it. My husband and I are exactly 7 years apart. I'm in one crisis, and he's in a completely different one. No wonder we don't understand each other." Jim Zullo taught us that the way we navigate the unexpected crises is by relying on what he called circles of intimacy. It begins with our own solitariness, perhaps in prayer. It often starts with anger. Anger against God, the one who left us, or ourselves. We have to stay with that. The next circle is the one most trusted, intimate, then family, friends, co-workers. It can even include our heroes or perhaps a saint. Then we will find the one song. In these circles of support, God revives our hope. Faith. It's important to remember that faith is the weakest of the theological virtues. We've learned and repeated, faith is a gift. And sometimes we wonder if we've been given it. Remember two Bible stories. One, the man who said to Jesus, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." That man is all of us. Second story, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Increase our faith." "How foolish you are," Jesus said. "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain." His point was, you have faith. You have enough. You really do. Let's find another definition of faith. Here is mine. Faith is the gift and ability to name reality correctly. Remember Moses and the burning bush? He asked, "What is your name?" And God told him. Moses now knew how to name ultimate reality correctly. We spend our lives trying to do the same, to distinguish what really matters from what we just want. And we do not, we cannot do that alone. In preschool, the children learn about colors. A teacher does not hold up a red card and say, "Freddy, what color is this?" If Freddy knows, his reaction, silently we hope, is, "What a stupid question. Everyone knows it's red." But if Freddie doesn't know, once again he feels shamed and inadequate. No, the teacher holds up a red card. "Class, what color is this?" Answer shouted out, "Red." "Then green, blue, magenta." Well, maybe not magenta. The answer, listen now, is based and accepted on the authority of the one giving it. Faith, Paul tells us, comes from hearing. And who have we all our lives been hearing? Parents, preachers, a community of faith. So to the fifth graders, I say it's a gift. Because we do not start the process. God does. He does it in nature. Ever since the creation of the world, God's mighty power has been there for the mind to see in the things he's made. A sunset. Autumn leaves. I ask them, have you seen the commercial Find Your Beach? And I tell them, I can look out my window and see a beach and the lake beyond. A God moment. Human beings, start with yourself. I said to one class, do you ever find yourself in a quiet moment just realizing, wow, I'm here. Isn't it amazing? Once, when I said this, a little girl in the back row started wiggling frantically. She couldn't wait to tell me that had happened to her. And boys and girls, think about the other people in your life, their surprising goodness, your enjoyment in their presence. Some of them may have heard of Gale Sayers of the Chicago Bears. I tell them the title of the book he wrote, I Am Third. For Gale, God is first, family next, he is third. That's getting it right. That is faith. Faith, hope, and love, boys and girls, and everyone else. Is God knocking at our door? Faith means trying to be clear about what's important. Hope requires knowing it's not all up to you. Growing in love is our lifelong God-given process.
Thank you to Father Bill O'Shea for being on today's episode, and thank you for listening. I'm Kate Anderson. You've been listening to the Old St. Pat's Podcast.